Today we want to look at this thought. For a Christian, forgiveness is not an option. For Christians, forgiveness is not an option. Sometimes people are wondering why they're not receiving their miracle, healing or deliverance or whatever, or blessing and favor the way they want. Sometimes forgiveness can really be the hindrance and can shut a person down. Dr. Rick Mays has told a testimony here time or two how he was praying for this lady. Nothing happened. She went back to her seat. And the Lord said to Dr. Rick Mays, he said, "I'm not through with her yet. Bring her back up here." And the Lord said she has unforgiveness in her heart. And if she didn't confess it, so he confronted her and said, "The Lord says you have unforgiveness in your heart." She started crying and said, "Yes, I do." And she repented of that, and God healed her. And I mean, sometimes something that is that simple is really not that simple. And sometimes you just got to forgive by faith and say, "Lord, help me to forgive them by faith." Jesus clearly taught that we must forgive those who have hurt or offended us. It's not optional. It doesn't matter who they are, what their color is, or what their circumstances is. We got to forgive. And if you've heard me preach on this, you know that forgiving doesn't mean you have to let them do it again, but you got to forgive them for what they've already done. In Luke 17, verse 3, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, "I repent," forgive him. So the Lord says, forgive him even if he does it over and over. And it does say, if he repents. Verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." They said, this is going to take a lot of faith. So we're talking about living by faith. We're talking about more than just living for biscuits and gravy. Can you say amen? Or a cup of coffee. We're believing God even for life-changing power. Enable us to forgive. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith, that we will have that kind of faith to forgive. They said, this is going to be tough. But forgiveness is required, and we do forgive, as I said, by faith. Sometimes it hurts too much. It's just too hard. And you say, "Lord, I forgive them by faith. You take care of it. You take care of these feelings." Matthew 6:14, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And we think that's starting to sound pretty serious. Yeah. Do you want to be forgiven? Do I want to forgiven? Do I want to be forgiven? Yes. Once he forgives us, he expects us not to do it again. But at the same time, he forgives us, and we have to forgive each other. Once he forgives us, he doesn't want us doing it again. Can you say amen? Amen. And when people offend us and hurt us, he don't want them doing it again. But if we'll forgive them, God will deal with them. Amen. It says here, if they repent, they don't repent, then God will deal with them. Can you say amen? If you repent for hurting you and offending you and being mean to you, God will deal with them. And you have to believe that. Because the word says that. For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15, but if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Is that sounding serious? Is God's forgiveness conditional or unconditional? He said, well, God's forgiveness is totally unconditional. Sounds to me like we need to forgive others. We need to forgive others if we want to be forgiven. These passages show that it is not possible to be forgiven without forgiving. And this is not something Pastor Barry dreamed up. I preach what's in the Bible, and sometimes I really like it. Sometimes I wish I could change it, but I can't change it. You say amen. There are people who try changing it. But they're going to wind up in big trouble on Judgment Day. If you take anything out of the Word of God, you're going to answer to God for it. And he even says your part will be taken out of heaven. Don't be changing the Word of God. Do you know why America is so full of hate and violence? Because they will not forgive. People refuse to forgive. They've got to get even. Hunt them down the dark alley and shoot them. You see, they want revenge. To go to heaven, we must forgive and let revenge go. Let vengeance, leave vengeance up to God. Mark 11, and believe me, he can take care of it. I've been around a long time, and there's a lot of people who were mean to me and offended me and didn't repent of it. And man, some of them are dead. Some of them got in great trouble. Some of them lost everything they had. And I'm not rejoicing in that, but I'm just telling you, God will. He'll deal with it. And he can do things to people you'd go to prison over. Yay. So forgive them and let God deal with them. He'll do a much better job than you. Mark 11, 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you asked for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And I was reading that and praying back when Sabrina was born with that major heart condition. And I read that and I said, well, praise God. This says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it. And you will get it. So I'm believing God I'm going to get a miracle for Sabrina, and I did. But then I read verse 25. And when you stand praying and believing me to answer your prayers, forgive. Wow. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him or her, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. You see, this makes it clear when we pray, we must forgive. We must forgive everyone. I was preaching this really strong one Sunday morning many, many, many years ago. And this guy came up to me after church and he said, my wife has mistreated me. She's had all kind of affairs and do all these kind of things. And you expect me to forgive her? I said, God expects you to forgive her, but he didn't expect you to keep putting up with it. Amen. Can you say amen? You don't have to keep allowing someone to someone to keep using you and abusing you. Can you say, praise the Lord, forgiveness. Some abused wives think, well, if I forgive him, I got to go back and take another beating. No, you don't. Amen. We must forgive, however, and let it go and not try to get even. What does the Lord's Prayer say? Matthew 6:12. And I was praying when the Lord really revealed that to me in a real big way. When you stand praying, forgive. Matthew 6:12. Here's what the Lord says that we're to do in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us, or to pray, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven those who've hurt us and offended us. Forgive us based on our forgiving them. Amen. So he says, not easy. But it's got to be done if you want to be blessed. Forgiving must be a part of daily prayer. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another. And this church, I think, lives up to that. Be kind and compassionate to one another. But sometimes some member in this church, could even be the pastor, is going to do something to offend you. And not only are we to be loving and compassionate, we are to be forgiving. Let me read it. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. So you don't get mad and stomp away because someone offends you. And it may have even been accidental or it might even be imaginary. They may not have even really meant anything against you. And wouldn't it be terrible to get offended and stomp out of the will of God and miss the will of God for your life because of something that never even really happened? Just as in Christ Jesus forgave you, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Many years ago, I was associate pastor back in Louisville at Evangel Tabernacle. That was the name of it then. W.L. Rogers, Dr. Bob Rogers' father, W.L., was the pastor. And I was his associate pastor for about nine years. And there was a doctor there in the church that I really loved, he and his family. Wonderful people, and I would go to him. And so one time I went for an appointment, and the secretary at the front desk said, something that made me believe that the doctor didn't trust me or something to that effect. It really offended me. I got really upset. And I thought, well, I'm never going to go back to that doctor again and all this stuff. And he was one of my best friends. Yay. And I made up my mind. I said, nope, I'm not going that route. I'm going to forgive it, drop it, and let it go. I'm going to go right back like nothing ever happened. And I did exactly that. And when I got back, the secretary explained what had happened and what I thought he said he didn't even say. So just flat forgive, whether they did it or not. Because the devil can put something in your head and cause you to stomp out the will of God and mess up your life over something that never happened. Just forgive. You hear me, Stan? Forgive. Okay. Colossians 3:13. Barry, I'm always picking on him, so he has to forgive me at least twice a week. Okay. He comes with me in prayer meeting on Saturday morning. He has to forgive me on Sunday. He has to forgive me again. Because I'm still picking on him. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other. Bear with each other. Put up with each other. Sometimes you just got to put up with somebody. And then God will fix it if you'll just give him a little time. Some of you have been putting up with me for a long time. And thank God, because I believe God's working on me. Keep hanging around. You might see a real miracle. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. This is an integrated church. It'd be real easy for us to get our feelings hurt over things. And you say, amen. We need to live sitting right on top of forgive. Forgive. And God will work it all out. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Does forgiveness mean that we are to allow anyone to continue to abuse us? Now, I've already answered that, no. But it's worth repeating. You see, we forgive what was done in the past. It is not required that we allow them to do it again. There's a difference between revenge and self-defense. And I've said it this way a few times. If you hit me with a hammer and I live through it, you will not hit me a second time. I'll either outrun you or I'll figure out some way to stop you. Amen. We have a responsibility for God to protect our own life. We're to take care of the temple of God. Amen. We don't become somebody's doormat, but we don't hold grudges and seek revenge either. We turn that over to God. Amen. And if you're an abused wife, God does not expect you to go back and be abused again, especially physical abuse where you're beaten up. You know, and I went through that with my father. You got to forgive them, but you don't have to let them do it again. Finally, Mama got fed up and said, get out of here and threw him out. Can you say amen? Amen. And God helped her. Listen, you don't have to keep putting up with it. I always wind up talking about the bad things my father did. He wasn't all bad. He was a hard worker. He wasn't a drunk. He worked a farm, worked a cotton mill, and worked about all night and worked about all day. That's one reason, I guess, he was so irritable. But at the same time, there's no excuse for beating up somebody up or slapping somebody around. Can you say amen? And you don't have to put up with it. Now, if God tells you to, it's none of my business. That's between you and God. But I know God doesn't expect us to be doormats. Or worse, be abused. Jesus illustrates how important forgiveness is in a parable. Now, he went to a lot of trouble to tell this story. And it has great meaning. Matthew 18:23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And he began the settlement. A man who owed him 10,000 talents, which equals about $10 million, was brought into him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. So that was the way they lived in those days. They could actually sell a person to pay their debt. I know some people today say the United States of America invented slavery, but slavery goes all the way back to the beginning of time. Can you say amen? And this is one way you could wind up being a slave if you didn't pay your bills. And they even had this law in England in the Middle Ages. If you didn't pay your bills, you'd go to prison. What sense does that make? How can you pay your bill if you're in prison and can't work? You're talking about insanity. That's pure insanity. But that's what they did. Verse 26, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. If you'll just give me a little time, don't throw me in jail, I'll pay you back. Verse 27, the servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. He said, you don't even have to work and pay it back. It's canceled. Get out of here and get on with the rest of your life. You see, his debt was too big. The only hope was forgiveness. Our sin debt is bigger than $10 million. We can't pay it. Can you say amen? Amen. We can only throw ourselves on the mercy of God and believe that he will forgive us and blot out our sins with his blood. The soul that sinneth shall die. To have our debt canceled means we get to live. Amen. To live in the eternal presence of God. You see, we have a sin debt we cannot pay. Therefore, we need it forgiven. And that's not the end of the parable, however. In Matthew 18:28, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is $20. Can you see a difference between $10 million and $20? Pretty big difference. Yes. He grabbed this man, he grabbed him, began to choke him. Pay me what you owe me, he demanded. Now, this is a parable, a story that Jesus is telling to demonstrate how important it is to forgive and what the consequences are if you don't. So this is no small matter. Verse 29, his fellow servants fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I'll pay you back. I'll pay you your $20. Just give me a little time. I put up a lemonade stand down on the corner and make $20. I'll get it. Just give me time. The guy says, no. I want it right now. Verse 30, but he refused instead. He went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. You can't pay the debt if you're in prison. His fellow servants told their master what he did, and the master became very angry. Verse 32, then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Now, why is Jesus telling this? He wants to make an impression on us. He wants to show us how important this forgiveness thing is. When the master discovered that his servant would not forgive, he reversed his decision and decided not to cancel the debt after all. If we want our sin debt canceled, we must forgive. Well, Pastor, what does this mean? Well, let's just let Jesus tell us. In Matthew 18:35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Forgive from your heart, from here, not just up here. And that's where faith comes in. Lord, I forgive by faith. I trust you to heal the hurts and scars to make me whole. And if they do not repent, they intend to keep on abusing me. I believe you to bring vengeance on them and fix this thing for me. Because the Bible says the battle's not yours but God's. And we got to keep telling ourselves that God can defend us and fight for us and protect us every day of our lives if we'll do our part. It's conditional upon forgiving. He will make us pay our debt. Listen, this is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless, now you can maybe find some way to twist it, but I haven't found any way to twist it. This is pretty plain. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Jesus says, if we do not forgive, God will treat us the way the king treated the evil servant. He will make us pay our debt, and it's too high a bill to pay, so we got to be forgiven, and therefore got to forgive others. The secular humanists in our universities preach hate, and I mean, they preach hate all the time, and that's where so many people today are really getting in trouble with God and the police and everything else. Hate, as Dr. Martin Luther King said, is too high a burden to carry. It's too hard. We got to get rid of it. Love is the only thing that makes a difference. Forgive and love. The secular humanists in our universities preach hate against America because of humans who participated in slave trade, slavery, and abuse of Native Americans, and racism. They condemn all of that. They carry hate and grudges against people, including Christopher Columbus, that have been dead for hundreds of years, and let's just kill them. Look what the horrible things they've done. They're already dead. And many of them are in hell, and they're preaching hate, 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 hate. Listen, we have enough trouble forgiving people who are alive, let alone worrying about people who are dead. Yay. What Christopher Columbus did to some of the Indians certainly was wrong, but at the same time, they did some things bad wrong to him, too. They killed a bunch of his people. But they never tell that, but that still don't justify anything, and it sure doesn't justify them holding a grudge against somebody who's been dead for hundreds of years. I mean, you want to go to hell over something like that? And the reason I feel led to preach it is because hate will send you to hell. You got to get it out of you, and you're going to be blessed and have God's blessing on you and be blessed financially, and your health be blessed. You got to forgive everybody, everywhere, every time. And these people send you to hell preaching hate, 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 hate. If you get into that, you're in big trouble. I don't get involved in politics, but I get involved in the Word of God. I have no other choice. Oh, let's kill Christopher Columbus. Wake up, he's dead. These ugly humanists program young Marxists and rioters and arsonists and anarchists in our streets to punish America for the past sins of some of its founding fathers and some of its leaders and citizens. Burn the place down because of something somebody did 200 years ago. What in the world is wrong with these people? They're full of the devil. Okay, explain it. And they're going to wind up in hell. And if we buy into that stuff, we're going to go with them. If you don't forgive, Jesus told us how we're going to be treated. I know people bring up all these doctors, what about this and what about that? What about what Jesus said? Yes. These same people abort babies, abuse drugs, they promote hate and revenge, they rebel against authority, even attacking those in authority at times with sticks and stones and everything else. But they want to punish others for the sins they disapprove of. You see, our sins are okay, yours are not. John 8:7 says, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone. All of you who are living right, serving God, you get to throw a stone. Everybody else do not get to throw a stone. And of course, no one gets to throw a stone. But this is what the Lord says. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. The definition of a hypocrite is someone who condemns others for evil when they are just as evil. Amen. Don't fall in line with those people. Matthew 7:7 says, judge not that you be not judged. And boy, that's a big temptation. And people say, today, racists are hating America, in case you hadn't figured that out. So if you want to hurt somebody, just call them a racist. You say, he is a racist. Well, that's a judgment call. You really don't know if he is or not unless you have absolute proof, physical proof. And so it's a judgment call, and you make a judgment call like that. It says, with the same judgment, you need to be met back to you. If you judge others unfairly, you're going to be judged unfairly, and you're going to be around complaining, well, they said this about me, and they said, yeah, it's because you said it first. The world says it like this, what goes around comes around. Yay. But God says, vengeance is mine. You start judging people, you're going to be judged. Y'all pay attention. If we want to get healed at the end of this service or any other time, we got to forgive people. Amen. Amen. Including an honorary pastor. You got to forgive him too. Matthew 7:7, judge not that you be not judged. For with the same judgment you judge, you will be judged. And a lot of times we're all upset about what people are saying about us, and it's because we've been saying it about other people. This is a good message, but y'all are not responding at all. Everybody try smiling. Give me a little comfort up here. That's just the word of God. For with what judgment you judge, you'll be judged, and with the same measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. A lot of these rebellious people in America are really hard, headed for some really hard time. When we judge others, we'll be judged in the same way. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? But you know what they did? Do you see how they looked at them? I didn't like the way they looked at them. And yet you're aborting babies. I mean, you can't. He said you can't get a speck out of somebody else's eye until you get the plank out of yours. And why do you look at the speck? This is Jesus. Where are the preachers? Why aren't they preaching this more? And I was coming along in church, they preach this all the time. But I hardly hear any preaching like this anymore. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? How can a generation that murders unborn babies condemn a generation that they call racist? That's evil. Evil calling evil, evil. Now, they need to repent, make things right with God. And if people are racist, you see, either way, it's murder. If you abort a baby, you take an innocent life. The Bible calls that murder. If you're racist, racism, if you go with the Bible, really racism is not in the Bible, but the word hate is. Racism is hating somebody because of their color. White, black, brown, whatever. And if you have hate in your heart, the Lord says that's murder. I think I read that scripture with it last week. I've read it many times. That says, if you hate your brother, that's murder. And then it says, we know that no murderer has eternal life. You can claim to be saved all you want to, but if you hate somebody, you're not going to make it to heaven. So why do you have to be so hard? I'm not being hard. I'm just reading the Bible. And what you do with it's your business. When I get through today, I'm going to go out to lunch and pretend it never happened. But we need to pay attention to what the Lord says. And if you have to pray day and night for a week to get that forgiveness out of your heart, do it. In the eyes of God, both are murder, racism, abortion, both in the eyes of God, both are murderers, and both will spend eternity in the lake of fire if they don't repent. Verse 4. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? That's what a hypocrite is. They're trying to fix everybody else, and they're living a life worse than what they're trying to fix. Is this making any sense? The Bible normally makes sense. When you read it like it is and don't try to twist it and make it fit into some kind of doctrine. Verse 5, here's what the Lord called them. Hypocrite! Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the plank from your brother's eye. Remove evil from your life, then try to help others overcome evil in their lives. Is that pretty much summing it up? Jesus calls these people hypocrites. Secular humanists and Marxists are hypocrites. They condemn people for evil things they have done, but they do evil things that are even worse. Jesus says in John 7:7, the world hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. You see, secular humanists and Marxists hate Jesus because his words convict them of their ungodly character. And some of my sermons are listed as hate speech right now because I read scriptures like I'm reading today. They hate it, hate Jesus, and hate me for reading it. When Christians speak his word, they hate us because if you're a born-again believer, you're going to have to speak his word too sooner or later. You can't hide forever. When Christians speak his word, they hate us because his word convicts them of their sins. And frankly, that's why we're here. That we might help people become convicted of their sins and repent and go to heaven with us. That's why we're here, to be a bright light that shines. There's hope, but you got to repent. You can't keep doing what you're doing. They hate Jesus because they want to decide what is right and wrong themselves. They even say it, just make up your own rules. Do what feels good. Whatever's right for you, just do it. Well, I'm sorry, that is not what the Bible teaches. They hate Jesus because they want to decide what is right and wrong themselves. Sorry, sorry, sorry. God has already decided what is right and wrong, and you don't get to change it. Amen. They're changing right now, but they're going to show up on Judgment Day like all the rest of us, and they're going to find out how wrong they really were. Amen. Too late. Now, why does God not allow us to seek revenge? The opposite to forgiveness is revenge. Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor, white, black, brown. And guess where that is? That's in the Old Testament law. For years, I didn't even realize that was there. It almost sounds like the New Testament. Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance, period. Nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall forgive your neighbor, white, black, brown, whatever, as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. We are forbidden to seek vengeance or revenge, but trust God for justice. God does not need my help to get even with people. He can handle it. Luke 18:7, God will not bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? You've been mistreated. This says God's going to take care of it. Verse 8, I tell you, he'll see that they get justice and quickly. Jesus says that if you will pray with persistence, God will give us justice. We're required to forgive, but if they do not repent, make things right, God will deal with them. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? If you live in America, and all of us do, it's very difficult to get justice unless you're a multimillionaire, because the legal system costs so much, lawyers cost so much, that you can get justice and never have a lawyer. Amen. How do you believe that? That's what Jesus said. Romans chapter 12, verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Verse 19, do not take revenge. Are y'all getting the picture yet? I'm running out of time, so hurry up and get it. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Is that plain? Leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. And that's in the New Testament in Romans 12:17. The secular humanists want to destroy basically everyone who rejects their ungodly code of conduct, but God promises to give us justice. God requires that we all forgive and not seek revenge, because he's going to take care of it. Forgiveness is not an option. We must forgive if we want our sin debt canceled. Not forgiving others can prevent the blessings that we are believing for. Just like that lady came up for healing when Dr. Rick was praying for folks. God didn't heal her because she had unforgiveness in her heart, and didn't heal her until she forgave those people, whoever they were, whatever it was. I don't remember all the details. There's a couple of stories like that he told. We forgive because revenge belongs to the Lord. Let's all stand.